Topic 46. Solving impossible puzzles. Every now and again, you will find yourself embroiled in the middle of a project when a really tough puzzle comes up. Some piece of engineering that you just can't get a handle on. Or perhaps some bit of code that is turning out to be much harder to write than you thought. Maybe it looks impossible. But is it really as hard as it seems? Consider real-world puzzles. Those devious little bits of wood, wrought iron, or plastic that seem to turn up as Christmas presents or at garage sales. All you have to do is remove the ring or fit the T-shaped pieces in the box or whatever. So you pull on the ring or try to put the T's in the box and quickly discover that the obvious solutions just don't work. The puzzle can't be solved that way. But even though it's obvious, that doesn't stop people from trying the same thing over and over, thinking there must be a way. Of course, there isn't. The solution lies elsewhere. The secret to solving the puzzle is to identify the real, not imagined, constraints, and find a solution therein. Some constraints are absolute, others are merely preconceived notions. Absolute constraints must be honored, however distasteful or stupid they may appear to be. On the other hand, some apparent constraints may not be real constraints at all. Many software problems can be just as sneaky. Degrees of freedom. The popular buzz phrase, thinking outside the box, encourages us to recognize constraints that might not be applicable and to ignore them. But this phrase isn't entirely accurate. If the box is the boundary of constraints and conditions, then the trick is to find the box, which may be considerably larger than you think. The key to solving puzzles is both to recognize the constraints placed on you and to recognize the degrees of freedom you do have. For in those, you'll find your solution. This is why some puzzles are so effective. You may dismiss potential solutions too readily. For example, imagine four dots drawn in a square. Can you connect all of the dots and return to the starting point with just three straight lines, without lifting your pen from the paper or retracing your steps? You must challenge any preconceived notions and evaluate whether or not they are real, hard and fast constraints. It's not whether you think inside the box or outside the box. The problem lies in finding the box, identifying the real constraints. Tip 81. Don't think outside the box. Find the box. When faced with an intractable problem, enumerate all the possible avenues you have before you. Don't dismiss anything, no matter how unusable or stupid it sounds. Now go through the list and explain why a certain path cannot be taken. Are you sure? Can you prove it? Consider the Trojan horse, a novel solution to an intractable problem. How do you get troops into a walled city without being discovered? You can bet that through the front door was initially dismissed as suicide. Categorize and prioritize your constraints. When woodworkers begin a project, they cut the longest pieces first, then cut the smaller pieces out of the remaining wood. In the same manner, we want to identify the most restrictive constraints first and fit the remaining constraints within them. By the way, a solution to the four dots problem is at the end of this section. Get out of your own way. Sometimes you will find yourself working on a problem that seems much harder than you thought it should be. Maybe it feels like you're going down the wrong path, that there must be an easier way than this. Perhaps you are running late on the schedule now, or even despair of ever getting the system to work because this particular problem is impossible. This is an ideal time to do something else for a while. Work on something different. Go walk the dog. Sleep on it. Your conscious brain is aware of the problem, but your conscious brain is really pretty dumb, no offense. So it's time to give your real brain, that amazing associative neural net that lurks below your consciousness, some space. You'll be amazed how often the answer will just pop into your head when you deliberately distract yourself. If that sounds too mystical for you, it isn't. Psychology Today reports, "To put it plainly, people who were distracted did better on a complex problem-solving task than people who put in conscious effort." If you're still not willing to drop the problem for a while, the next best thing is probably finding someone to explain it to. Often, the distraction of simply talking about it will lead you to enlightenment. Have them ask you questions such as, "Why are you solving this problem? What's the benefit of solving it? Are the problems you're having related to edge cases? Can you eliminate them? Is there a simpler, related problem you can solve?" This is another example of rubber ducking in practice. Louis Pasteur is reported to have said, "When it comes to observation, fortune favors the prepared mind." That is true for problem solving, too. In order to have those eureka moments, your non-conscious brain needs to have plenty of raw material, prior experiences that can contribute to an answer. A great way to feed your brain is to give it feedback on what works and what doesn't work as you do your daily job. And we describe a great way to do that using an engineering daybook. And always remember the advice on the cover of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Don't panic.
Here's a couple of challenges. Take a hard look at whatever difficult problem you are embroiled in today. Do you have to do it this way? Do you have to do it at all? Were you handed a set of constraints when you signed on to your current project? Are they all still applicable? And is the interpretation of them still valid? Oh, and the answer to the puzzle with the four dots? Start in the bottom left corner, draw a line up through the top left corner, and continue on for a bit. Then draw a diagonal line down and to the right until you're level with the bottom edge. Then draw horizontally back to where you started.